Hello, and welcome to our series, Career Resilience, where we talk with people about their career path and their career journey, and maybe we can all learn from each other. My name is Jan Daniluk, and I'm a human resources professional in London, Ontario, Canada. I work with Fort Keist LLP, and I work with my clients to help them with the HR side of their business. We hope that you will enjoy these discussions with real people about real challenges and real working life situations. Welcome. Hello, and welcome to this session of Career Resilience. Today, my guest is Stacy Han, and I'm so excited to have her with me. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you very much, Jan. Great to see you.
Thanks. So we have lots to talk about. We're going to talk about your career. We're going to talk about making some career changes and how that works and worked for you. We're going to talk about networking and connectivity. And I love that idea because I think many of us, including myself, are not so great at networking. So any tips that you can give us will be really helpful to hear. I'm looking forward to that. We're also going to talk about some tips that you have that are three kind of things that are important from your journey and so on. So all sorts of things. So why don't we start with what your current role is? Let's establish that and get going.
Sure. Great. Thanks so much, Jan. So my current role is I am the director of the Graduate Diploma in Accounting program at Western University. So that is a program that allows students to fast track through the CPA professional education process. And I'm also a lecturer. So I teach in both the graduate program as well as our undergraduate program, primarily in the areas of assurance and financial accounting, because that's really where my past experience was before coming into academia.
Okay. Now, you know what? I find that around grade 11, people get attracted to accounting as a career. So tell me about you in grade 11.
Sure. Yeah. So I think for me, you know, when I was in high school, I had the good fortune of having an accounting class, and I was always really interested in mathematics. So I think that was really my initial attraction to accounting, was that it was something I was really good at. And it was also something I enjoyed. So when I started, you know, looking to what I was going to do after high school, I had the good fortune of having a really great career counselor who worked with me. We did some questionnaires. And I really found that I was well suited to a career in business, which translated well to, you know, the studies that I had really enjoyed in my high school journey. So when I went to university, I knew I was going to, you know, go into business. But I think, you know, accounting sort of found me in terms of, I really looked at, you know, where my interests lie, what was something that I enjoyed doing. If I got homework in a certain course, what did I really like working on? And so I think that really led me to a career in accounting. And I was fortunate to have, you know, some friends and some roommates that were pursuing back then a CA designation, now the CPA designation. And so I think I thought, oh, let me look into what that means. So I didn't actually know anyone myself that was a CPA, but through really connecting with my peers and, you know, learning from the instructors I had in university, it really directed me to that career path of a CPA.
I like that idea of the kind of homework you actually enjoyed doing helped you think about what you wanted to do as a career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, whenever you're, you know, having to do things, you know, for a class, if there's something that you dread opening up the book, that's probably a sign that that might not be where you want to end up in your future career. So I think for me, really looking at, you know, I was excited to open those textbooks, and I really look forward to, you know, working through those issues and those problems. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately really finding your own interests can help you drive your career path.
Yeah, that's so true and so important, because we spend so much time at work and pursuing our careers. What's it been like with COVID, teaching your classes and so on?
Well, it's certainly been different. So obviously last March, we were, I'd say, you know, forced to convert everything to an online format. So I think the university was very, very supportive in terms of providing a lot of resources for faculty to help us understand what the options were, you know, what was a way to run a synchronous or an asynchronous mm-hmm. class. And so really for me, I was able to, you know, attend a lot of these learning sessions, as well as, you know, we're going to talk about connectivity. So being well connected to my peers, not only within Western, but peers outside of Western, to mm-hmm. really look at, you know, what was going to work the best for my courses in helping students meet the learning objectives of my course. Yeah. And I think what was important to me was, I really think that students learn a lot from each other, and I learn a lot from learning from them. So I wanted to keep some aspect of connectivity in the classroom. And even though we couldn't be face to face, how could students still learn from each other? So it's definitely been a challenge, but I can say, you know, I put a lot of careful thought into how I designed and implemented my courses. And then it's been a learning curve. So, you know, each course I've offered, what worked, what didn't work, what can I tweak to make the experience better for students and to help them achieve the learning objectives of the course. So I think we have to appreciate, we may not always get it perfect the first time, yes, but it's yes. that learning what worked and what didn't work and being open to changing and modifying what you're doing to help better serve the needs of students and ultimately in their learning, which is the most important part.
Well, speaking of changing and modifying, you started out in public accounting, and somewhere along the way, you decided to make a change. Can you take me through that sort of thought process at the time? Because it was a big change.
Absolutely. So for me, I started, as you mentioned, in public accounting. So I was working in assurance at one of the big four firms. And I actually loved my experience in public accounting. So I was working my way up, you know, looking at becoming a partner in the firm because I really did enjoy what I was doing. I think for me, what was great about my experience in public accounting is that I got the opportunity to be involved in things outside of what people would typically perceive as the role of an auditor. So I took advantage of getting involved in things like recruiting, getting involved in things like training. And those were things that I took the initiative to get involved with mm-hmm. beyond my sort of typical day-to-day job. And so through that experience that I got, getting involved in things outside of my traditional job, that's where I really found my passion, that I really enjoyed working with people. I really enjoyed teaching and being in that learning environment setting. And so those were opportunities I really cultivated when I was in public accounting, is I continued, you know, being involved in recruiting. I continued being involved in training with all the different opportunities that I had. And so back then, as a very new CPA, I actually had an opportunity to teach just one course at Western University. So it was a great opportunity for me to get my feet wet in teaching in a university setting. And so it was a very busy time because I still had my full-time job at the firm and I was doing this sort of on the side. But because I really enjoyed it, it didn't feel like work to me. Yeah. But that gave me, you know, an experience in an academic, a university setting. And it also allowed me to start to build some connections at the university because I had that experience. And so when I decided to leave public accounting, I actually first went into industry. So I made the move into industry and I worked as a controller for a couple of years. And that job, again, was really nice because I actually had responsibilities for training the people that were out in the different distribution centers that we had. So even though I was in a controller role, I still got to do a lot of training, which was, again, something I was super passionate about. So I think ultimately for me, what led me back to Western as a full-time career is that through my experience, my time in public accounting, my time in industry, I was able to find my passion. And that's where I would say to everyone, you know, be curious, get involved in things outside of your typical day-to-day job, because I would have never imagined as a university student that I would now be teaching in a university myself. That would have never come to mind, but it was through taking advantage of opportunities that were presented to me that I found that passion mm-hmm. to get involved in teaching in an academic setting.
It sounds like from the start, you decided to own your career. And I find sometimes people give away a little bit of ownership of their career and go along as things just flow. What is it about you, Stacey, that you had that feeling of ownership from the start and trying these different things to sort out where you wanted to go?
I think for myself, and this is one thing, you know, I encourage of my students is I think I was always a very curious person. Mm-hmm. And so I was really, you know, sort of committed to my own learning because I was curious about what different experiences or what different things might be like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I was a very, you know, young person working in the firm and they said, oh, we need someone to teach the new hire training. I thought, well, that would be something new. That would really put me outside of my comfort zone in terms of, you know, having to be in front of the room and really facilitate something formal. I had done a lot of informal, you know, coaching and mentoring of junior staff, but this was really the first opportunity to do that in a formal setting. So I think for me, really being curious sort of led me to take advantage of the opportunities that were presented to me. And I think, you know, we all have to appreciate, we don't know what's coming next in life. Obviously, the COVID pandemic has taught us a lot. So I think really looking at what you're doing and saying, okay, my first job may not be my dream job, but it's what can I learn from this experience that's going to help me find what my dream job or my passion is so that ultimately you can get to that point. And I think for me, I feel very fortunate because I've enjoyed all of the different careers that I've held, but I think ultimately it's brought me to the point I am today where I'm excited to get up and see my students. I'm excited to go to work. Yeah. And I think that's what people should really strive for is, you know, a career where they feel excited and they feel passionate. And so I think for me, really being curious is what got me to this point. And I feel very grateful for that.
What is the difference really between public accounting and working in private business? What's the difference for people? Because it seems to be you choose one path or the other. And I was wondering what kind of conversations you have with students about that.
Yeah, so absolutely. So I think, you know, from a student perspective, and I think, you know, even in my own experience, you know, the first job is sort of always the hardest job to get because you don't have a lot of, you know, past experience to help get you that first job.
Yeah.
So I think for me, you know, in my time, you know, there was different accounting designations, which is obviously changed now. But in my time, you know, if I wanted the CA designation, I really had to start in public accounting. So that was kind of what led me there in the first place was that's what I need to do to get the designation that I wanted. I think the beauty now with the designations being merged is that students have a lot more options in terms of where they want to start their career. I think what's important to recognize is that where you start isn't necessarily where you're going to end off, right? So I think, you know, for me, I had to, in a sense, start in public accounting, and I was happy to do that. But I was able to, as I said, take advantage of those opportunities that were presented to me to find something I was passionate about. Mm-hmm. I think what's really neat about public accounting, and I loved my time there, was that you're really working with a lot of like-minded people. You know, there's a, you know, people sort of have the same objectives, the same goals. You know, the people that you're primarily working with on your team probably have their CPA designation as well. So you're working with a very motivated group of individuals who are very like-minded. And so, you know, we also had a lot of fun because of that. You know, we were able to take advantage of those friendships. I think moving into academia, it is a very different kind of environment. Because you've got lots of different people with lots of different background. Mm-hmm. So I think with a university setting, there is a very diverse group of individuals who are coming together, trying to achieve the same goals. So it's a very different type of a setting for sure.
Now, I work with one of your former students, and I think very highly of her, and I know she thinks very highly of you, and we still appreciate that you brought her to us. How do you connect with your students so well?
Well, I think, you know, there's a few things that I try to do. So there was a TED Talk by Drew Dudley, and he talks about lollipop moments. And he defines a lollipop moment as really making an impact on someone else's life in some simple, small way that sometimes you don't even recognize you've done. So I think for me, in my sort of career path, what I've recognized is I really want to try to take advantage of the opportunity that I've been given to impact young lives. And so I try to, you know, as best as I can, give students that lollipop moment where I can do something, even if it's something small, to make a difference to their lives. So I think there's really three things that I try to focus on. So one is I really try to encourage students and teach students to be curious. As I mentioned, I know that served me well in my career. And I think students need to look beyond the grades. And so sometimes, you know, students see grades as the carrot at the end of the stick, and they're chasing those grades. And I really try to encourage students to step back and say, you know, there's more to a person than just the grades they got in the course. So, you know, try to be curious, try to develop your own learning, because you want to learn for your own personal and professional development. And I've seen students that have not had the most successful marks in undergrad, and they've gone on to be very successful in their careers. And I've seen people who have, you know, top grades in their undergraduate degree, and they may not have passed the CFE the first time. So people have to recognize that, you know, grades don't define who they are. It's really what they've learned and what they take away to their careers and their next step that's important. I think as part of that, I try to help students build their confidence. So, you know, I've had a lot of students that say, I don't think I can make it as a CPA because look at my grades. I don't think I can cut it. And so I try to, you know, provide them with some different perspectives. Students that I've taught before who have been successful, even though their grades were not great, because grades really don't define who someone is as a person or who they're going to be in their future career. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I am really passionate about recruiting and about students being successful in their career. So I think for me, I try to support students beyond what I teach them in the classroom. And so where I can add value to the student in helping them learn how to network, how to connect with potential employers, how they can, you know, present themselves in a networking session or in a resume or a cover letter, I think goes beyond what I'm teaching them in the course. And then the third thing I would say is I try to be generally supportive of my students. So that means not only with the course content, but their lives beyond the course content. Because what I've learned is that, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on in students' lives that you don't see in the classroom, and you don't know what those things are. And so I always think about that, that when students come to see me, if there's something I can do to help them that maybe I'm not even aware of, they need help with, I want to show them that I care about them.
Yeah.
So I think those are the kinds of feedbacks that I get from students that really resonate with me, because those are lollipop moments. I didn't know I was making a difference, but I can look back and say, wow, because I took the time to sit down with this student, I was able to make a positive impact on their lives. And that means a lot to me personally.
I think it's so true that we all have day-to-day struggles in our life. You don't just suddenly become a student and that's your block and that's where you spend all your time, thought, energy, emotion. You've got life going on around it. And one of the things that I always say is the whole person comes to work. You don't just drop everything at the door and then come in. You're still the human you were as you walked up the path to the office. And I really encourage managers to remember that they've got the whole person in front of them. And we don't know half of the struggles that people have because we're so good at hiding those things, right? So
absolutely.
I love that concept of lollipop moment. I'll definitely put that TED talk in our link so people can find it. But that is really excellent. I did want to move on to talking about networking and connectivity or whatever those words are, because I think it is difficult to network. And I have been in situations actually with students where it just breaks my heart to see them in these crowded situations where they're being assessed and, you know, we don't really get a lot of training in networking. It's just sort of a lot based on your personality. And if you're able to put yourself out there, if you're an introvert versus an extrovert, all those things. So I'd love you to speak about that for a few minutes, Stacey, about networking and any ideas you can give us.
You know, that whole concept of, you know, connectivity is such an important concept, because I think often, you know, young people think, okay, well, I've got to network because I want to get a job. But I think networking connectivity goes well beyond sort of that first job. And I know for me in my own career, you know, as I've made changes, you know, in my career, as my, you know, position has changed or evolved, you know, within an existing career, as I faced hard times, right? I mean, this whole moving to online has been challenging for all of us. It's those personal and professional connections that have really helped me not only change careers, but deal with challenges in a current career. So I think students or young people need to remember that, you know, networking is a lifelong thing. It's not something that we do just to get the first job and then we forget about networking. Mm-hmm. It's something we've got to continue to build, because it is going to help us manage our careers and be more resilient throughout our career journey. So I think, you know, when it comes to networking, my own personal experience and advice would be, when you're going to a networking session, go prepared. And so what I encourage people to think about is, imagine who you might be able to connect with. So if they're going to a recruiting event for a public accounting firm like Ford Keast, I mean, they may meet people who are partners. They may meet people who are brand new hires at the firm. They may meet people who work in different areas of the firm. So maybe people who are more focused on tax or accounting or different service lines. And so I always try to encourage people to remember that every single person that is at a networking session is important. Because sometimes students say, well, if I want to work in audit, I need to talk to the audit person. Yeah. That's not the case, right? Everyone that's there representing a company or a firm is an important person. And so I encourage people to think about who is going to be at that networking session. What are the different levels of staff or the different service lines those people might be in? And think in advance what kind of question you might ask an individual who is a partner, or an individual who's a brand new hire, or someone who's in tax or some other service line, because you can gain a lot of insight from those people. Yeah. And so the other thing beyond, you know, sort of being prepared with questions for different people is, we need to remember that, as you said, we're all people. So our questions don't have to be about accounting or business, right? It's making a connection with someone. And sometimes making a connection with is a personal connection. So I find out that you like basketball and I like basketball, or you're really into music and I'm really into music. And now we've got a connection that goes well beyond, you know, just the job itself. Yes. So I think students can appreciate, or young people can appreciate, try to get to know people for the individuals they are. People like to talk about themselves and their interests. You don't have to just talk about business or accounting. Talk about yourself. Talk about things that are of interest to you. Talk about your passions, because that's often how you will find a connection with another person, is that you share a similar interest. And then the last thing I would say is, you know, ask questions that you couldn't find the answer to if you did all the research in the world. So, you know, if I go on the website of a firm or company, I can find out lots of information. Yes. And I should do that. But when I'm going to a networking session, I want to ask things that I can't find the answer to on the internet. So maybe it's, Jan, I'm going to ask you about, what was your career journey? What led you to the position that you're in now? So something beyond things I've read on the company website, because those are more impactful and more meaningful types of conversations.
So let's say I'm someone who's going to a group. It doesn't have to be students. It can be anything, a group anyway. Somebody's invited me to something and I walk in and there's a crowd of people. How do I walk up to someone and talk?
It's definitely can be intimidating, especially for people who haven't done it before. So my advice personal advice is it often helps if you're able to go in a team of two. So, you know, especially if you're being invited to something with, you know, other colleagues or other friends or peers, often going in a team of two to approach someone just takes a little bit of the anxiety and the pressure off of someone because they know, oh, I've got a buddy here that I can sort of rely on. I would say try to approach small groups. So if you see two people highly engaged in the conversation, I would wait to approach that group because you don't want to interrupt like a personal conversation. So try to approach small groups. Or if you see someone standing alone, that's obviously a good person to try to go and connect with. And I think this is where the being prepared comes in, because you know that when you introduce yourself and that person introduces themselves, you say, okay, this is a, you know, a partner in audit. What was my question that I had thought of in my mind about what I would ask a partner in audit? And now I've got sort of a conversation starter that I can ask that question. So if you come prepared with some things that you might talk about, it just takes away some of that intimidation factor in terms of, if I approach someone, what am I going to say? Well, if you've thought about what you might say, as soon as you know who that person is, you can move into sort of asking them a question that you've thought of in advance.
To be honest with you, I never thought of prep beforehand. Never thought of sitting down before going to some do and saying, okay, who's going to be there? Like, well, I certainly think about that in terms of, if I'm developing a training program, I think about my target audience and think about how that's going to work and what's going to work for them and so on. But it wouldn't have occurred to me to sit down and think, okay, Joe and Jane and Jill and John are going to be there. What would be a good conversation with them? Which I think would be helpful, because especially if you're somewhat shy. And I am introverted, so I don't know if extroverts walk into a room like that and say, let me at this group. I don't know. Do you have a sense of that? Is an extrovert just so different when they enter a room with a group of people?
I mean, I've gone to a lot of, you know, networking sessions, you know, in my life and you know, most recently at the university level. And I think, you know, there are some people who, you know, are able to do that, who are able to walk into a room and say, I'm just going to walk up to someone and I'm so confident and comfortable with this that I can engage in a conversation. Yeah. I would say, you know, I am not that kind of person. And I see a lot of, you know, people who are not feeling comfortable with that sort of thing. And that's where I do think the preparation beforehand can help make people more comfortable and alleviate some of the stress that people feel going to these kinds of events.
I remember once, Stacey, I had a boss and he was great. And we went to an event and I said to him, you know, I'm just so glad that I'm going to be, you know, with you at this event. And he said, pardon me. And I said, you know, that we're going to be together at this event. And he said, no, we're not. He said, you are on your own the minute we walk through the door, because I know you. I know all about you. I want to meet all these other people, and I want you to meet all these other people because you know me and you know all about me. So off you go. And I said, what? And it was one of the best pieces of advice I had, or being pushed out of the nest, I guess, that I had. That was so helpful. And I've always appreciated that he did that for me. The other tip that I have frequently used is, if I go with someone, that we'll challenge each other. We'll say, you know what, by the time we connect again in this room, we will have talked to five people and we will have learned a bunch of stuff that we can share with each other. And that's kind of fun when it's a challenge, because there's something sort of beyond you in doing it that way. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I know, you know, even with, you know, talking to students, you know, I do try to encourage them sort of have a goal for how many people you want to meet when you come out of that session, so that you can sort of see, you know, whether or not you're able to achieve the goal. So trying to talk to, you know, and sometimes it is, you know, I'm going to try to talk to five people or three people, especially when you're just getting started. So I think, you know, having someone that you can connect back with throughout the evening to say, how's it going? How's it going? Where are you at? I think is a great idea. And again, it just can help push you to do more for yourself in terms of networking. And also knowing that you're going to be able to connect with somebody that, you know, you already know, also, I think, sort of remove some of that intimidation or some of that nervousness, because you say, okay, I just got to get through another half an hour, and then I'm going to meet back up with my friend. We'll have a little powwow, and then we can go off again. So I think that's a great idea.
Are there other things that come to mind for you in terms of resilience that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. Yeah. I think going back to this concept of connectivity, I would say in my own career, that has really helped me deal with challenges and adapt to changes in my own career. So I think for me, you know, when I made a very difficult decision to leave public accounting and go into industry, I was very fortunate that I had made strong connections with people who were able to mentor me and give me advice and share their own experiences with me to help me feel confident in making that transition. Yeah. And I would say I was able to use, you know, new connections and old connections when I looked to make the change from industry into academics.
Yeah.
And I think that connectivity, as I mentioned, has really helped me deal with not only changing careers, but changes in my career. You know, right now we're looking at, you know, bringing in past CPAs to help us with our graduate program and support our students. We're looking at partnering with some outside firms to bring industry into the classroom for students to give them a rich experience. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, having those connections and having maintained those connections has really allowed me to not only deal with challenge, but also help me build on strengths and really make a difference, because I've been able to use those connections to do some pretty interesting and powerful things, you know, in my career across my journey. So I would just encourage people to keep those connections alive. You never know when they might become useful to you or help you in some way. And you may be actually able to help someone else through having a connection with them. So networking is not something we do once. It's, you know, keep those connections going throughout your career, because they will pay dividends for you in ways that you wouldn't necessarily think of today.
Yeah. And I don't think you're saying that in any sort of cynical way. It's just human connection and how we can work together and help each other. And especially, I think, too, when we get so focused on the job at hand, not realizing that there's a whole world out there that we should also be exploring. And I do find this with, in particular, accounting people in public accounting, that it's so challenging for a good portion of the year to ever even lift your head up. And, you know, I've certainly heard people say, and it's not just accounting, there's other jobs as well, but I've certainly heard people say that I knew what I was getting into when I got into this. And sometimes I think, oh, is that some sort of thing, you know, that you made a mistake, or, you know, have you looked up recently to make sure this is working for you? And that, but I think it goes back to what you said about the homework that you like. Do you love it? Because you better, because it's going to consume a lot of your life. So develop that passion for it and remember that passion for it. And that
absolutely
makes things exciting.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the reality is you may not love every aspect of the career that you have, and that's okay. Yeah. But I think ultimately trying to find, you know, those passions and take time to, you know, establish those connections and maintain those connections is really important. You just never know where your career is going to take you.
I know.
And I think that's really, you know, really exciting.
It's interesting. I did want to ask you, what advice would you give your younger self?
Oh, that's a good question. I would probably say, and this is something I guess that resonates with me when I see my own students, I remember being like that, is really trying to focus on the bigger picture. You know, I think sometimes we get stressed or we get wrapped up around an individual task or, you know, something that we're working on in the moment. And it's sometimes blinding to see what the bigger picture is. And so I think, you know, when I look back at myself, I was like that once too. Sure, I was, right? And I think there are moments where I still, you know, sort of get in that mindset, say, wait a second, I got to step back and take a bigger look here. So I think always trying to remember there is a bigger picture beyond what you're doing. And I think if you're working on a task, you know, remember, why is that task important? Because there's probably a greater benefit or a greater good, a bigger picture behind that individual task that makes that individual task important. And so I think for me, you know, I didn't see that early on, you know, in my academic studies. I didn't see that early on when I started my career. You know, when I was working on audits, oh, here I am auditing cash. And I didn't necessarily at that time see, well, what was the bigger picture? What was the value that I was adding there? So yeah. I think people have to just sort of take a moment to step back and think about what is the bigger picture and what is the long-term objective or goal. And that can really add, you know, value to what they're working on right now. And I think I wish I would have learn that lesson a little bit earlier. And I think it's hard when you're young to see what the bigger picture is, but I would just encourage, you know, my younger self to try to take advantage of that opportunity to see the bigger picture at an earlier point in my career.
Well, that's great. Yeah, that's great advice. I love the idea of seeing the value in the task, seeing the bigger picture beyond the task, and seeing the value you're adding to the task, because every step that you take in a day is adding value probably to something bigger than you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that those are all my questions for you. Was there anything that you wanted to leave us with beyond what we've discussed today?
I think what I would just say to anyone, you know, listening who's in sort of a leadership role or a role where they're able to mentor people, you know, even if you're not in those positions, remember that you can make a difference in someone else's life. So thinking about those lollipop moments for yourself and what simple or small thing might you be able to do for someone else that could actually have an impact on their life. And I think if we all take a mindset of trying to create lollipop moments for everyone else, for someone else that we encounter in our life, we can become really effective leaders. We can help make a difference in this world, especially, you know, given the challenging time that we're all facing. Mm-hmm. I think taking time to try to create those moments for others is more important now than ever before.
Oh, I think that's huge. And I think that that intrinsically develops leadership and emotional intelligence and just understanding that life is challenging, work is challenging, but if we all sort of pull together and help each other and support each other, then it makes it all that much easier to manage it all. So thanks, Stacey, for chatting with me today.
Thank you so much, Jan. It was a pleasure.
And to our viewers and listeners, thank you for joining me today and listening to Stacey and I. And I think that there's such valuable tips in there for any of us who are in a networking situation. It just helps me even listening to the things that, in the comments that Stacey made. I also want to do a shout out today to a friend of mine, my editor, who has become a friend of mine. His name is Jacob Carl Moguin. And he's out of Montreal and he does all my editing for Career Resilience. And he is just great. So if you are looking for an editor, I will link his stuff in the show notes, but he is there and he's great. So thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it. And until we meet again, thanks.